This is March 21st, and this is the Bruins Beat, presented by FanDuel on CLNS Media. And welcome into the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. Hope you guys are having a great day, a great week. And on this episode, Connor Ryan and I get into, hey, look, the Bruins are fine. They're okay. Everything is good. Three-game win streak. Can't ask for much more than that. And they are back on track. We also get into Jeremy Swayman has been quite good of late, which has been a huge boost for the Bruins. We get into how good he's been, but also, is he making a little bit of a push to get some playoff starts over Linus Ullmark? So Connor and I get into that. We also get into the big question. I know this is sort of a longer-term question. This isn't really a here-and-now question. I know we try to keep focus on the now, but we looked into, will the Bruins be able to sign any of Orlov, Bertuzzi, or Hathaway? We get into all of that on this episode. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan, presented by FanDuel. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. Did you do anything fun for St. Patrick's Day?
Evan, I battened down the hatches. I'm not trying to be a curmudgeon, but there's only so many times I can see someone yak on the sidewalk or try to pee in the alleyway next to my house before I've been a bit disillusioned with the St. Patrick's Day parade. So no, it was very much a batten down the hatches kind of day. So I did not partake too much in the festivities. It's only so much I can take, Evan.
Yeah, and you grew up there in Southeast, so you've had your fair share of those parades. I was working Sunday. I was at the Garden all day. Connor, I think I might have set a record for how long I was at the Garden. I got there at 8:30 a.m. left at 11 p.m. So
humble brag,
but it was not because I wasn't like, oh, I was grinding so hard. It was six games in a row. It was not a crazy job, but it was a long day, very long day at the Garden. But then my friends and I did some stuff on Friday night. So
there you go. Works out perfectly.
St. Patrick's Day. It was actually on St. Patrick's Day too. So
there you go. That's the more fitting one. Like, I view the parade, it's kind of like when you go to like Bourbon Street in New Orleans for the first time, and like in print, like you get pitched it, and it's like, all right, like it's food's great, like it's like cool atmosphere to walk around, like that's what the St. Patrick's Day parade should be. And then like what happens? You go down Bourbon Street, and a guy from like Terre Haute, like Indiana, who's never seen like a 2-foot like frozen maga in his life, is hammered and punches you in the face. Like, that's what it is. It's like, it's something that should be nice, and it just gets ruined by some jabronis. Like, that's the problem.
As usual, humans ruining things. It's
course,
a common
yes.
trend. Common trend. But you know what's not ruined, Connor?
What's that?
Contrary to popular belief, the Bruins are still very good. They are not ruined. They are not ruined. Connor, so many people were freaking out last week, the week before, the thoughts start to creep in. What if they're about to hit a big slide? What if this is all going to come crashing down, the turnovers and this and that and different complaints? And they rattle off three straight wins, 3-0 win against Winnipeg, 5-2 win against Minnesota, 7-0 over Buffalo, who is fighting for a wild card spot. I think they're okay, Connor. I think they're okay.
Yeah, I think they're fine. Yeah, as you said, like when we talked about this little lull they were in before, and of course, like losing to a team like Chicago ain't great. But I think
we never said that loss was like good or anything. It was a terrible loss, but does not mean to sound the alarm.
Yeah, I think the most important thing was just making sure their details weren't slipping. And as you've seen over those last couple of games, even like that home win over the Red Wings, like wasn't really encouraging, right? Like they kind of just had they strung together like 10, 15 good minutes of good hockey, and that kind of was enough to get past a team like Detroit, but really hadn't had a dominant performance in a while. And then to go back out there and beat, two pretty good teams or pretty solid teams in the Jets and the Wild run a hot streak. And then if the Bruins were flat on Sunday against the Sabres, I think he would have understood in terms of, back to back, second leg. Seemed like the Sabres, who are falling out of playoff positioning, but still like they're in the mix. That could have been a really good statement game, a really opportunistic game for them. I mean, Bruins took advantage, but like that Sabres team, Christ, like that was an
Ooh.
embarrassing performance from them, like in their own building. But again, all the credit to the Bruins. It'd be one thing if they had a nice professional win, 3-1, 4-1, something like that, smoked them. Like, and not even that, but beating Winnipeg in that manner. And there was still some pockets of their game that was up and down against Winnipeg, but they didn't build off of that, have a very strong performance against the Wild. Had a little bit of assist from their video team who got the first puck from that game. But when you look at just what went right over that stretch in terms of the Bergeron line getting hot again, you have the Coyle line who has continued to look really, really good as of late. Defensemen step up. Even, again, it's a testament to, I think, the depth on the Bruins that Jakub Zboril has barely been in a game the last couple of months, goes in there against the Sabres, I think, and had a great setup on Hathaway's goal. I was really poised all day. So again, that's going to be important over this final stretch where you are going to start resting more and more guys. You need the guys like Zboril and Lauko to step up, and they pulled on that same rope over this whole couple of games.
And they also did it yesterday or on Sunday against the Sabres. No Krejci, no Orlov. And Tyler Bertuzzi is another one. He's setting guys up for high danger chances. He's been very good at that. One of these days, Connor, he will score a goal. One of these days, the goal will
We'll
count.
see.
No one has come close so many times and not scored than Tyler Bertuzzi. But one of these days, the puck will go in. But as you said, I mean, again, the way in which they won those three games and everything coming together again, they're okay. They're okay. You even look on defense, and that's starting to sort of, come together again. Two goals over the last three games. Not horrible, Connor. That's not bad. That's not bad. So I think it's, again, it's three games. It's the end of a road trip, which, as you said, is an easy time to maybe have a letdown. They kind of had a letdown at the beginning of the road trip. But again, I don't see this, I see them continuing their winning ways. I don't see them falling off in any sort of way. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I think it's to be expected a little bit of regression over the final couple of weeks in terms of just resting guy and what have you. Like, it's not going to be every game where you take out a guy like Krejci and the Coyle line goes off, the Bergeron line is good for 2-3 goals. Again, they have the depth that it really hasn't been an issue this year, but there'll be games along the way where I think you'll see more lulls or this team prioritizing health and, getting the game right as opposed to going all out 60-minute effort, which again, this team has more important things to worry about than chasing like regular season records or the point pace they're on and all that stuff. I think the most important thing is just making sure, like, even if they didn't smoke these last three teams they played, I think for Bruins fans, the most important thing is, one, health; two, making sure like there's like the hallmarks of their game, the kind of the foundations of their success weren't straying. It's not like they're winning games, but they're all in shootouts like they were, a few years ago, where it's like, all right, like, the secondary
Yes.
scoring is here. But when you look at, what carries you through multiple 7-game playoff series, it's usually stingy defense. So the fact that defense is still operating at a high level, you want to keep that going. Health, as I said, and I think how they perform in some of these bigger matchups, like they don't really have a intense schedule in terms of like marquee opponents. Like they have a lot of games, but other than you look at, this upcoming weekend, Tampa, Carolina, they play Toronto later in the year, New Jersey. Other than that, like those are the ones you probably pay more close attention to in terms of like, all right, it's almost like, I think Ty Anderson even mentioned a few days ago, but like they lose to Chicago, not great. But like, let's see how they do against a team like Winnipeg that's desperate, a team that's in the picture like Minnesota. If they're flat against those teams, okay, it's not good. Like, you want to kind of snap out of that. For them to respond in the manner that they did against teams that you could see down the road, that's encouraging. So if they're able to, even if it's more up and down over the next couple of weeks, if they answer up against a team like Carolina or Tampa Bay, that shows you that I think they're still on course. Like, I don't think even if they drop a few more games, then no one should be hitting the panic button by any means.
I also don't think if they lose those games against Tampa and Carolina, unless they get blown out and everything just goes to hell, I still am not going to sit here and press the panic button. I don't think. I think, again, as I said, unless there's crazy circumstances, whoa, circumstances, injuries, things like that, I don't think I'll be hitting the panic button. They've done enough this year to win me over and convince me that they're going to have a deep run. I want to get into the goaltending in a second because that has That is continues to improve from an even high point that it was at, you know, throughout the first half of the season. The goaltending, Jeremy Swayman, two shutouts in his last two games. Buffalo, Winnipeg. Buffalo's got quite the offense. So, I mean, shutting them out, that's no small feat. I know we look at Buffalo and kind of go, oh, the little Sabres, you know, whatever. But they got a real offense up there. Real offense. I know we talked about this last week. And we talked about Ty Anderson earlier, or you mentioned Ty earlier. I don't think we did a whole segment on Ty. But he was talking with Felger on Sports Sunday, Sunday night. And it came up the idea, you know, Swayman has been outstanding since January 1st. We talked in the first half of the year, you know, can Swayman find his groove? Can Swayman find his groove? He has more than found his groove. He's been outstanding. I mean, you just look at the advanced analytics on both Ullmark and Swayman. Both of them are top five in almost every good category. The high danger save percentage, high danger goals against average, things like that. They are outstanding, near the top of the league. And it begs the question, you know, Ullmark throughout the year has been, you know, as I just said, the odds on Vezina favorite, you know, definitely going to be starting in the playoffs. But is Swayman kind of making a push right here to contend for some starts in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's making a push. I think, as you said, the keys, I think, to the keys to the car are still going to Ullmark to open the playoff run. But again, one, we'll see how it is over these next couple of weeks, right? Like, again, you don't want to put too much into this, like the dog days of the regular season. But that being said, it kind of is how the Bruins approached it last year, where I think Swayman had a good run where he was kind of the de facto number one. And then as the year kind of went on, he started tapering off a little bit. And Ullmark kind of took that spot again for the start of the playoffs. So, again, it's a good problem to have. It means that both those guys should get equal reps down the stretch here because they're both, one, playing like number one goaltenders, and two, it splits up those reps ahead of the playoffs. But I think it kind of comes down to how these guys, you know, fare over these final weeks. But I still feel like Ullmark gets the nod. But you then also you run into that situation where it's like, all right, let's say like in game two of the first round, Ullmark lets in four goals. Like, do you immediately go to Swayman? Like it's one of the challenges of being a coach in terms of weighing that. Like, is it, do you do an about face there? Do you stick with them for another game? But then you're in a, you know, it's one of those ones where you have to gauge like whether it's just the usual shit happens with, you know, playoff hockey where you let a few goals in, or is it, you know, a decline in terms of their play? So it's a great problem to have during the Bruins where it's like, all right, well, Ullmark doesn't have it. We have a guy who's playing like a number one goalie and Swayman as the backup, but it will be fascinating once you get to that part of the playoffs where every team goes through it with adversity in terms of something goes haywire or a player is, you know, hits a lull or what have you. You have insurance for that with a guy like Swayman, but when exactly do you have like the break glass in case of emergency thing? Because you can't really put the glass back together. You can't like put duct tape over it and clear it up. But that'll be really fascinating to see just how Montgomery balances that, because there'll be a game or two where even if this team goes on a deep run where probably Ullmark lets in four or five goals. Like, that's just the way it goes. You get some of these high-powered teams that they're going up against. It happens. But, you know, when they get to that road, what Montgomery does, whether it's just Swayman for a game, whether you stick with Ullmark, it's going to be fascinating to see how he approaches that.
It's a huge coaching decision, as you said, because you really can't repair that glass. You know, if you take out Ullmark, put Swayman in, are you killing Ullmark's confidence? Like, there's all those elements to it. I mean, they have goalie Bob, who's the goalie whisperer, can kind of figure those things out. But that's still a massive decision. And you saw the Bruins kind of struggle with that a little bit in the first round against Carolina last year, where it was, you know, what do you do? When do you kind of pull them? I mean, and it was not an easy call for Bruce Cassidy to make last year. Now, again, both of them are much better than they were last year. The team is a lot better than it was last year. I agree with you. I don't think there's any chance at this moment that Swayman would get starts over Ullmark, or at least start the playoffs over Ullmark. Ullmark has been, as I said, the Vezina favorite. He has carried them through stretches of the year, won them games, been outstanding. That's who I'm riding. I mean, that's who I'm going with. Now, as you said, though, is there more pressure because, you know, Ullmark knows if he has a bad game in a game two or a game three of a series, well, you can just put Swayman in and suddenly he can go on a run. So, like, does it put the more pressure on? I don't know. I mean, they both experienced it last year. It didn't really work out. But I just look at the body of work throughout the entire year. I have a really tough time arguing for Swayman over Ullmark at this moment. But as you said, it's a good problem. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why you don't trade a guy like Jeremy Swayman for situations that could arise, like we've talked about, right? Like this is why you don't trade a guy like Swayman or Tuukka Rask way back in the day. So again, I mean, Swayman has been outstanding, and it's good to see, by the way, because again, he's probably your goalie of the future, big time. We'll get to kind of his money situation this offseason, which get pretty interesting. It should get pretty interesting. But again, Omark and Swayman, two good options to have. Two really good options to have. So an interesting thing I saw Fleur Shinzawa write about this past weekend is a question I think we will be doing a lot with come the end of the season, whenever that might be. Hopefully it's, you know, middle of June, because I really hope we're not doing off-season stuff in April and May. That would be not so great. And I think people,
especially April, April is something
that it'll be tough.
Horrifically wrong. So
something would be horrible. Something would be very amiss if we were talking off-season stuff in late April. But
I think it'll be a sad boy summer for many people on the pod, if that's the case. But anyway, I digress.
The listenership, right? Yes. That time, if that were the case. And he wrote an interesting thing about, you know, will the Bruins be able to re-sign any of Dmitry Orlov, Tyler Bertuzzi, or Garnet Hathaway? And it's an interesting question because, you know, all of them are raising their values. They're all different cases. You know, Bertuzzi's a top six wing looking to kind of cash in. Hathaway is a, you know, fourth line grinder type guy, maybe try to find some stability somewhere. And Dmitry Orlov is looking for a payday as a defenseman, as a very good potential top pairing defenseman. And the Bruins really, you know, they are pretty good at re-signing guys that they get at the deadline, Mike Riley, Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, Hampus Lindholm. Like there's a bunch there, but I think the Bruins would love to keep all three in a perfect world, but the cap isn't really going to allow for that next year. And you have a lot of moving parts. You have a fair amount of free agents. You have RFAs and Trent Frederick and Jeremy Swayman. You have, you know, the cap didn't move up as much as you thought it would. You have overage charges from Bergeron and Krejci potentially. I don't know the exact finances on that, but you have that as well. There's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, can you really bring, you know, I think in a perfect world, the Bruins would love to bring back Orlov, but he's going to be very expensive. Same with Bertuzzi. You have a lot of left wings. Hathaway's a fourth liner. Is there a chance they don't bring any of these three back?
I mean, yeah, I think there's a chance none of them come back. Because I think when you look at it, yes, the Bruins, I think, would like to have all three of them back in a perfect world. But if that's the case for any one of them to, I think, come back, I think there's going to have to be concessions on both sides. But especially, I think, on the viewpoint of the players, like whether it's Orlov and it's they said before he got traded from the Capitals, he turned down, I think, a 6-year deal. Like, I don't think he's getting 6 years here. I don't think he's getting 6.5. I don't think he's getting, like, the Lindholm annual payout for what he brings. And, again, he probably could get that on the market. Like, I could see someone like the Kraken giving him 6-6 or what have you. And same with Bertuzzi. Like, he's a guy that could, I think, easily make 5.5, maybe 6 if he has a really good playoff run. So I don't see them coming back if that's the payout. Again, it's one of those ones where if you convince them to be part of this next kind of wave that you want security, you want to still be a contending team, which, again, I think you look at it like, say, a guy like Orlov, right? Yes, we've talked about this before. If Bergeron and Krejci aren't back, you have that huge hole down the middle. But you look at the way this rest of this team is structured with Swayman and Ullmark, with a decor that has Lindholm and McAvoy and Carlo and Orlov, and you still have talent on the wings, like, your team's still going to be good. Like, the team will be in the playoffs next year. Hell, they might be, like, still a top five team in the East, if not higher. Like, that team is still going to be very good. Like, I think people have to be cognizant of that. So, like, there is still enough of a pitch here in terms of being part of this team and this culture, even if you're missing two key guys in Krejci and Bergeron. But to have them back, it still has to, I think, be some concessions made on the point of the players, especially a guy like Bertuzzi. Like, that's a guy that you would feel like would be probably at the top of the list in terms of just like his age plus where you could kind of use him. If he was a center, it would help a lot more. But like, I think probably it's like Bertuzzi, Orlov, and then probably Hathaway here. Like, they'd take all of them back, obviously. But I think if you're the players, it's you're weighing a bigger payout elsewhere as opposed to maybe a chance to, I wouldn't say run it back, because again, we don't know what's going to happen next year with Bergeron and Krejci. But it's not like this team's like, this is the 1 year and they're going to immediately take a huge dip down. Will they be the wagon they are now? Will they be a top tier contender? Probably not, but this still has the foundations of a very good team. It's just whether or not these guys who are probably in line for their, you know, their biggest payday of their careers, you're not going to bemoan, I think, a guy for chasing that when that opportunity is right there for them.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. We always encourage players to go chase the bag. I mean, come on, it's part of the deal. I will push back though. I think Orlov might be the top of that list. And again, this is just, you know, spitballing, I guess. But I look at, you know, again, Bertuzzi to me is a Bruin. Like Bertuzzi has every quality you would think a Bruins left wing would have. I just look at the depth this team already has on the wings, and I kind of go, oh, I don't know, you know. I don't know if you really want to be spending that money when you have other options there. I think shoring up your top four on D with Orlov, McAvoy, Lindholm, Carlo is outstanding. Like that to me is terrific. The problem though is Orlov going to take less than Lindholm? Probably not. I would
Yeah.
assume, especially if he, you know, got to get him out of Washington because of it. So again, I think Orlov probably brings a little more because he solidifies a need. But again, I mean, you can't go wrong with Bertuzzi. I think Hathaway's probably gone. I think that's, you know, definitely gone. Most likely he's going to get, you know, money elsewhere, unless something drastic happens or something like that. But I look at him as kind of like a Nola Chari in that, like, you know, get it elsewhere. They can refill that internally. Again, a guy you want on your team. That's the
Yeah.
problem. Like all three of these guys are guys you want on your team. And the good thing is, by the way, Bruins fans, friends, listeners, they currently have them. We're talking, you know,
Oh
again,
yeah.
off season. Yes. Isn't that crazy? I'm getting ahead of everybody. You know, we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but it's a big conversation and they're all playing well. You know, and they all have their spot on the team. So it's interesting to talk about them right now. Connor, what can people look forward to from you over Boston.com?
Yeah, we're gonna have you covered every step of the way this Bruins season with recaps, features, columns, breakdowns, all that good stuff over at Boston.com. Not just Bruins, of course. We have you covered on everything that's happening in Boston sports, whether it's Patriots offseason, Red Sox getting ready for their season, Celtics, everything. We have you covered on everything over at Boston.com. So please read all of our stuff over there. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at Connor Ryan underscore 93.
Go do all that and remember to subscribe to New England Hockey Journal. That is Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky, Bruins Beat. Listeners, have a great rest of your week.